Welcome back to Psukei HaDaf. This is Rabbi Yaakov Trump, and we are learning Brachos Daf Lamed Hey together today. The topic for today is the Song of the Wine on Lamed Hey as we enter the Perek of Ketzed Mevorachim. This first Daf has 19 Psukim in total. We're going to focus on one of the more obscure of those Psukim, which we kind of learn, we pass by, and we imagine we know what it's talking about. It's a pasuk which appears in Sefer Shoftim on Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, and it is in Shoftim Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Here is how it reads. Vatomer lohem hagefen, the vine says to them, Hechdalti es tiroshi, I have stopped my wine which is being yielded, Hamesameach elokim vanoshim, which makes Hashem and human beings happy, Vohalachti lonua al ha'etzim, or should I go and wave above the trees? The Gemara on Lamed Hey Amud Aleph darshans this as one of the explanations as to the connection between wine and song. Yinayin she'en omrim Shira el alayayin. How do we know that you only say Shira over wine? And as Rashi explains, referring to the Kohanim and the Levim and the Beis Hamikdash on the Nesachim, because of this pasuk that the wine says its primary tafkid, its primary purpose is to create happiness among human beings. It's the Gemara says, "Imana Hashem Asamech Elokim Bamim Asamech." We can't say Omrim Elo Shira El Ayayin. What, obviously, wine is not making HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not imbibing wine, so it must be the Shira which the wine is providing with. So just to understand the context of this pasuk, in what context is the vine talking? So it actually comes back to a very dark story, a very dark corner of Tanakh. It's in Sefer Shoftim Perek Tes, where we've just finished witnessing the reign of a shofet by the name of Gidon. Gidon was a turning point, actually, in Sefer Shoftim. You can see everything that comes before him is very upbeat. Afterwards is more complex. Gidon was a very powerful shofet. He was single-handedly, with a very small crew of men, was able to push away the hordes, or the ravaging and pillaging hordes of the Midianites and the Bnei Kedem, push them out of Israel, that they're not taking advantage of the Israelites at that time, and he lived a very powerful reign. He is unique among the Shoftim in the sense that he is able to have a dynasty. That means to say that he is asked to be a king by the Bnei Israel. He rejects it, but nonetheless, he has a huge amount of sons. We know that he has at least 70 sons, and after he passes away, it sounds like his sons become the leader in his stead, which is something we don't see in Sefer Shoftim. That's something we only see later on when we get to Malachim. And what is interesting is that after he dies, there's one of his children who is a child from his ama, from his maidservant, whose name is Avimelech. And Avimelech is not such a good person. He goes to Baalei Shechem, to the area of Shechem, which somehow he is related to through his mother's side. And he raises up the rabble and says, do you want to be led by a government of 70 sons? Why don't you show your commitment to me? And he rabble raises and uses as an opportunity to massacre all of his brothers, all of his brothers from his father, and thereby declaring himself the ruler and takes the rule of Israel in their stead. There's one exception, and his name is Yotam, who is not killed in this terrible massacre. Of course, the name Yotam is very much related to the word Yasom, which means an orphan, which is reflective of his condition. As Yotam hears this, he runs to a mountaintop adjoining to Har Gerizim. For those who've been to Israel, that's not so far off from Shechem. And he goes there and he stands on the top of the mountain and he issues the following metaphor. He says, you know, the nation of Israel wanted to find a king. So he compares them to the forest, to the trees. And the trees want to have a ruler. What do? First, they go and they turn to the olive tree and they say to the olive tree, please become our ruler. And the olive tree says, I'm too busy doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Then the trees turn to the fig tree and say, "What? Can you be our ruler?" And the fig tree says, I'm too busy doing what I'm supposed to be doing. How can I spread my shade over the rest of the trees? And finally, they go to the vine, and that's where our pasuk arrives, and the vine responds to the trees by saying, how can I become a ruler for you? I am busy making and providing my wine for Anoshim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Mesameach. And that's why I'm not going to be your ruler. Finally, the trees turn to the Atad, which is the thorn bush, and they ask him to be a ruler. And the thorn bush agrees, and the way he describes it is, because of their actions, a fire emanates from the thorn bush and consumes the cedars of Lebanon, even the very tall trees. And he concludes his metaphor with a nimshal, and he says, if you are coming because you're looking for true kingship, then that's all right. But you are not respecting my father who sacrificed his life to defend the nation of Israel, to defend the land of Israel, and now you rejected him and allowed this son of a maidservant to kill all his dynasty. The fire will consume the atad, the thorn bush, which provides no shade, provides no fruit, and will ultimately destroy you. The Malbim points out, why is it that the first three figures were the olive, fig, and vine tree? The Malbim explains that there are three types of leaders. There's a leader who's a spiritual leader, who has like the olive, who has wisdom, representing the oil like the menorah, spreads light. There's the fig tree, who provides beautiful, sweet taste. That's the kind of person who's interested in the physical well-being of the people. And then there's a person who's in between both wise and sweet. That's the wine, which has good taste and good smell. So what he's trying to say to them is, I would understand if you went to any of these leaders who had some redeeming quality. But this fellow, this Avimelech, has no redeeming quality. He is a thorn bush. He offers no comfort. He offers no shade. He offers no fruit. And the reason you're going to him is going to ultimately be your own downfall. This gives a little bit more perspective of the conversation had and why there's the metaphor or personification of this vine, which is being described in the Pesukim. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.